Okay. Today is Daf Lamed. We're going to start on Chav Tesav Beis, but three lines from the bottom, Amalei Abaye. Let's just go back to what we had here. So we had the Machlosi, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether Ein Shechita El Basof, that Shechita is a point in time, which is at the end, or Yesh L'Shechita Mitchil Basof, which means that Shechita is a process. And throughout the process, you're going through the process of Shechita. So let's just start from the Amar Rava. So Amar Rava, I kashli, if I had a kasha, ha kashli, this is my kasha. L'man d'amar ein shchita el basof. According to Man d'Elmer says ein shchita el basof, that it's only a point in time at the end. Liplo b'hechsher the para. The mission should make a chiluk between, if a para doom has done the hechsher, that could go into shaftua b'tre gavre. Let's say two people shechted the para duma. The gavre kama lo matama, the gavre basa matama. Anyone who's involved in the para duma becomes tame. But in this case, let's just say, if you say ein shchita el basof, so it should only be the second guy who finishes the shechita should become tamei, but the first guy should not become tamei. Why? Because it doesn't become a paraduma until the end of shechita. Because there's not a process at this point in time. So the Rav Yosef, says no, betray God because if you can't question from two people, right? Bar mi nedahu the tanina shelo yushnai. It says tizbach shelo yushnai shochem zevach echad tizbechuvish shelo yeh adam echad shochem shnei zvachim. Which means that you can't ask that question because it's not going to happen. You can't have two people shechting. Now the Gemara says, "Only Abaye." So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, "Lav itmar law, didn't we learn? You said that you basically made a sentence, a halacha psuka, that two people can't shech the korban. But it's not the case. Amar Rav Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Midivrei Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Sitma, Siti, Sisim, Mita'a." That's, you know, the Rashi says that that's the stam. Rashi Sheish Mishnah Brisa Harbish Amar Rav Elazar Shimon. Right, that's the stam. That's only one shita. However, that two people can shech one korban. So if two people can shech one korban, according to Manda Amr says, Ainu shita el basof. If you have a case where they do the paraduma, two separate people, one has the first and one has the second siman, then the first guy, the gadol, should become tamei. Because there was no shita at that time. The shita is only at the end. And only from shita to eilech, there's the part of Dumi Mitame, those who are Osek in it. And on top of that, Rabbi says, Vil Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon, even according to Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon, who says that two people cannot do a Shechita, I'll find you a case where I do have an issue with two people involved in the Parah Duma. What about, or two involved in the Parah Duma, not two people, but a concept where one should be Tame, one thing should not be Tame, should be Tahar. He goes to Shechet Chagavri B'Shnei Sudorim. Let's say one guy is shechting the Parah Duma, and he's wearing two articles of clothing, meaning, Rashi says, Shabbat Emsa Shrita Bachabero, in the middle of a Shrita, his friend came, the Nuttle Sudor Mirod, so I guess he took off a hat that he was wearing, or a scarf, but Tafabu Sudor Acher, and puts on another scarf on him. Umidlo Maklik, and since the doesn't make a distinction, Shma Mino Tarvayu Mitmu, it makes it clear that both become Tameh, the Yeshon Shrita Mitzvahso, according to you, who says that Shechita is only a point in time, so if he's wearing garment A when he does the first siman, to have that removed and someone else puts garment B on and then finishes the Shechita, so only the second garment should become Tameh, because the Shechita was only at the end. But you see that the Mishnah doesn't make that distinction, meaning that both Sudarim will become Tameh. If both Sudarim are becoming Tameh, that means the Shechita is taking place when he's wearing the first handkerchief. Which means that Shechita is a process from beginning all the way to end. That's a kasha, and the Manda Amru says, Ein Shechita Ela Levasof. So our answer is no. Ela Bipsula de Parakamari. You can't prove anything from our Mishnah. You can't say because our Mishnah, the Mishnah we quoted, didn't make a distinction, in these cases, that proves one way. Why? Because the Mishnah is only talking about Bipsula de Parakamari. The Mishnah is only talking about cases where the Parah becomes possible. If the Parah becomes possible, so the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even if it became possible at point B, whoever was osik it from point A to point B, they become tamei. Because at from A to B, we're dealing with a paraduma. At B, it ends, because it became tamei. So anyone up to that point becomes tamei. Beyond that, doesn't become tamei. But the Mishnah is not talking about a case where the par was done correctly to make a distinction whether the guy was wearing one article of clothing or two articles of clothing or two different people were shechting. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Look what Rashi says. Towards the end of the Rashi Ella. That's not what our Mishnah is talking about. So, according to the Amar, who would say, ain l'shchita el basof, he would say, listen, the guy's wearing two pieces of clothing, the clothing gets switched, only the second one becomes tamei. According to Manda Amr says, yesh l'shchita l'shchita l'basof, they will both become tamei. But you can't make a deal from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is not involved in that case, where the shchita l'shchita was done appropriately. It's only dealing with a case when the shchita, the paraduma, was done. Well, sorry, the Mishnah is only dealing with a case where the Mishnah, right, where the paradum was done inappropriately, and the teaching is the Chiddush that you can stop the process in the middle of the time, and from the beginning till the time, till the time where it becomes possible, the people who are involved are Tameh, but from that point over on, he loses the status of the paraduma, and everyone involved over there, I guess if you continue for some reasons, you don't become Tameh. Fine. Now we're going to ask another question, the Man Omer says, Ein lo shrita ela basof. Again, the Man Omer says that shrita is not a process. Shrita is only a point in time. At one point in time at the end, that's when Halacha defines it as being the Shrita. So, Masi Rav Idi Bar Avin. Okay, so Rav Idi Bar Avin asks the following questions from a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Samach Gimel. So, the Halacha is that it says, Lo Tizbach al Chametz Tam Zivchi, you can't shef the Korban Pesach when you have Chametz in your possession. Not only that, the Gemara comes out and says that you can't shef any Korban on Pesach if you have Chametz in your possession. Not that you can't, it means that you're over the Isser of the Tizbach al Chametz Tam Zivchi. But that is only if the carbon that you shef is a kosher carbon. If there's a psul in the carbon, if the carbon is puzzled, you don't violate l'tizbech alacham, it's dam zivchi. Okay? So, what happens in the following case? So, Masir Rav Idi Bar Avin. Bamoe. We're now talking about after the Yudala. Let's see, second day of Chol Hamoed. You know, second day of Pesach in Israel. It's the first day of Chol Hamoed. Alright? So, Bamoe. You shef the Pesach l'shmo. Shef it for the carbon Pesach. This is a carbon Pesach. The Havmin is, or the other case is, I had a carbon Pesach. I lost it. So I bought another carbon Pesach. I shefted it. First day of it, my sheep walks in. I found it. So now comes the next day on Chol Hamoed, I want to shef it. So really what you should probably do is shef it l'shem shlomit, because it's shlomit. But I decided, instead, I'm going to shef l'shem carbon Pesach. A carbon Pesach at this time, shef it l'shem Pesach. Remember from the beginning of Sotim, possible, because it's now a Shlomim. You can't shef l'shem Pesach. So if you shef l'shem Pesach, l'shmo, you're putter. I mean, you're putter, meaning that you didn't violate the Israel of Tizbech al-Chamit Tam Zitri, because this carbon is now done inappropriately. It's Shalom l'shmo, it's a possible carbon, right? It's your putter. But Shalom l'shmo, but let's say I shefted it, Shelo l'shmo, meaning not l'shem Pesach, meaning I had it l'shem the Shlomim. So now it's a valid carbon, because a Pesach throughout the years is Shlomim. So it's a valid carbon. So then I be chayev for l'tizbech al-chametz tam zivchi for shefting my carbon Pesach l'shem Shlomim on Chol Hamoed. I'm violating l'tizbech al-chametz tam zivchi. But a lot of background, and we're going to get to the question in a minute. V'habinim bo, and they were done in this Mishnah on the Gemara in Daf Samach Daladim Pas in Sakhir. Time, right, it says that the Mishnah says you're only chai shalom l'shmo if you had inappropriate intent, meaning you had intent for it to be l'shlom. Time shalom l'shmo. The reason why you're chayiv is because you had the shlom intent. You had specific intent the other way. Hash stomach, let's say you did it stam, you didn't have any intent whatsoever. You're a good guy, your whole stomach l'shmo, so you did it stam. So what's the story with stam? So you mash that you're putter. Especially a potter, because the default on this carbon would be a Pesach. You'd have to uproot it from a carbon Pesach to make it a Shlomim. So Gemara asks, "Why my potter? Why would you potter if he did it stam? Right? Pesach or Shai Moshe Shavu Shlomim Hu? Then no, Pesach the rest of the year is an automatic Shlomim. The default should be a Shlomim. So if you had stam, it should be a Shlomim, and you would be chayiv. For Tishbech Al Chametz Tam Zivchi. But Shema Minos, like you said here, not you see from here, Pesach for Shai Moshe Shana Boy Kira. Yes, a Pesach for Shai Moshe Shana is a Korban Shlomim, but you have to consciously make it into the Korban Shlomim. You have to be acute, it has to be uprooted from the Pesach status into the Shlomim status. But Amr Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, Rechim Megadama said, Nizrakam Yipi HaKabura V'Amru. No, the Kabura, they said something different. When we learned this in the Kabura, in the base measures there, they said something different. But Amru, they said, no. Really, a Pesach, She'avar Zmano, does not need a cure. Doesn't need to be uprooted. During the rest of the year, meaning today, the first day of Chol Hamoed, I shef the carbon Pesach, stam, that means it's a shlomim, and if it's a shlomim, then I'm over the Isser of l'tizbech al-chametz tam zivchi. The only time I'm putter on l'tizbech al-chametz tam zivchi is to have intent that this is my carbon Pesach. This would be my carbon Pesach at the wrong time, it's not a good carbon, so therefore I don't violate that Isser. But Hakav Ma'iskinan, what we're dealing with over here, we're not dealing with a case where I had my Korban Pesach, I lost it, and I bring it back. We're dealing with a case where I never shechted a Korban Pesach. Kegon, Shahayu Haba'ilim Tvei Mesim. Erev Pesach, I'm a Tamei Mes. So what's the story? Just me, Tamei Mes, and Erev Pesach. I have my Korban set aside, I can't bring it. I gotta wait a month, and I come on Pesach Sheni. So what's the status of my animal? What am I gonna do with my animal? Do I get rid of the animal? I'm gonna save it. This animal is still a Korban Pesach. It's still a Korban Pesach. It's gonna be used a month later. Right? Assuming that the year doesn't pass and everything like that. This is gonna be my animal in a month later. So now what happens? It's a Korban Pesach, and I shecht it on Chol HaMoed. I shecht it 3.5 weeks early. So there Gemara says, this stam alishmokai. In this case, stam is going to be a Korban Pesach. Because I'm saving it for my Korban Pesach next month. So the halacha would be, if I do the Shein Pesach, it's a pasul Korban, because it's not the right Zman. So therefore, I'm pater from Lutizbach HaKomis Lagam Zifri. If I have in mind for it to be a Korban Shlomim, well then, it's a pasul Korban, because it's talking about Pesach Shari Mosh Hashanah, and therefore Shari Mosh Hashanah is a Shlomim, so I had the right intent. I violate Lutizbach HaKomis Lagam Zifri. But if I have stam, in this case, I have stam, it's going to be a Korban Pesach. The stomach smokai, but hi who the boyser akira, achelo boy akira. But any other Korban Pesach doesn't need to be uprooted. Only this one would have to be uprooted. Normally, in the original case that we had, as I lost my Korban Pesach and I found it, I'm going to bring it on the Chol HaMoed. In order for that to be viewed as a Korban Pesach, I have to explicitly state that it's the Shein Pesach. Stum would be the shlomen. In the case where I haven't done the Korban Pesach yet, I'm saving it for next month, then stam is supposed to be for the Korban Pesach, and the only time it comes to shlomim is I specifically have intent for it to be a Korban shlomim.
Ah, but Lotisbar HaChomet Dam Zitzit is applied to Korban Tulu Pesach Sheni.
Why not?
Because it's Chomet. There's no Lotisbar HaChomet on Pesach Sheni.
Yeah, but I'm not on Pesach Sheni right now. I'm talking about the Chomet. Right now we're on to Pesach, for the second day of Chol HaMoed.
That's not a Yisur, the Lotisbar HaChomet. First of all, there's no
you're not allowed to bring...
No Chomet, I don't know what's
the... Wait a minute, you're not allowed to bring any Korban if you have Chomet in your possession.
There's no Chomet on Pesach.
You're the bad dude. You didn't get rid of your chametz. You have chametz in your possession, and you're bringing a karva. You violated Israel. Lotizbach chametz. That's the case. You can only violate Lotizbach al chametz dam zivchi if I didn't get rid of my chametz. It's in my backyard. If I got rid of my chametz, then there's no issue. Yeah. We're not on Pesach Sheni now. We're on the first day of Chol HaMoed. We're talking about a karva that I'm going to bring on Pesach Sheni.
He did two things wrong. He
was
the wrong time and he had
chametz. Yeah, he messed up. This guy messed up. He has chametz in his backyard. He doesn't believe in mechiras chametz, so he didn't sell his chametz, and he forgot that he's got a bottle of unlimited in his cabinet.
Okay, whatever Pesach. Also, if you bought it at the right time, he's still over the.
Correct. As long if you have chametz in your possession when you bring a carbon on Pesach, you violate an iser lo tizbach al chametz dam zifri.
So what's the difference if it's bisman or not bisman?
What do you mean?
If you have chametz, what's the difference?
Because you only violate the Isser if you bring a valid carbon. If you bring a pasul carbon, you don't violate the Isser.
If you bring a shlamim, you don't violate.
No, if you bring a shlamim, but let's say you bring a shlamim, you make a pigle, you don't violate. If you bring a shlamim and it's kosher, you violate the Isser.
No, it's not only carbon pesach.
No, that's what we said at the beginning. Let's look at Rashi.
He's stacking the case exactly one direction.
That's exactly. It's a stack case.
You're using a specific type of case to get...
Everything's stacked up against you here.
Right.
Like we said before, Lotizbech ala chametz dam zifri applies. A, you have to have chametz in your possession. B, it's any carbon that's burned on Pesach. C, the carbon is done in the hechsher. If all those three apply, you violate. Okay. So now, why do we bring this down? Because we're going to ask the kasha on the Manda Amru says that Ein l'shchita el l'basof. So, I'm not exactly sure how this works. So, Iyamar bishlamo yesh l'shchita mitzchit l'basof. If you say that shchita is a process from beginning to end, so what happens? So we have the carbon. We have a carbon. This carbon is supposed to be brought on Pesach Sheni, so it's a carbon Pesach. But if you check it today, it's really a shlomim, right? So I had. So if you say Yeshua is chitim tulat, so if so way, this carbon Pesach becomes pasul, and from being a carbon shlomim mitchila shchita, right at the moment when you check it, it becomes pasul because at that moment it's ready to be brought as a carbon Pesach, and therefore when you start to shchita b'stam, which means at this point stam is a carbon Pesach. And you shecht it l'shein Pesach, it's puzzled as a shlomim. Really, it's a shlomim. But I have intent that it's a Pesach, so at the first moment that I shecht it, it becomes puzzled. It's not a Pesach because it's the wrong zman. It's not a shlomim because I intend for it to be a Pesach. So therefore, at that first moment in time, it's a puzzled karvan, and therefore I don't violate the tizbach al-chametz dam zifri. But, el e amart, ein l'shrita el basot. If I say that shrita is not a process, shrita is a point in time. The point in time is at the end. right? Le'i amart, le'enos shchita el basof, mikeva neshachat beporta. At the moment I shef the original, the mitzvah simonim, so itchei le'pesach. It's now no longer viable to be a Pesach Sheni, to be born a Pesach Sheni. Shef did it right now. So it's pushed away from being a shef, from being a Korban Pesach, right? The idach kishachit, so then when you shef the next Friday, when you finally do the actual shchita, the point in time the shchita is valid, shlomim kishachit. And that was a shlomim. The point being is that that first nick that you put in pushes it away from being a Korban Pesach. So it's now longer a Korban Pesach. I can take, so what is it now, Stam? It's a shlomim. I had some intent. I continued following through. I shechted the shlomim. So if I shechted the shlomim, the hechsher, why am I not violating? I have come into my backyard. I did a valid korban. I violated the official mitzvah of Chametz Tam Zivchi. If you say that the shechita process starts at the beginning, well then it's that at the beginning point it's a Pesach Sheni, it's not a shlomim, it's possible. But if the shechita is at the end, well at the end it's a korban shlomim. Because it gets knocked off from being a Pesach Sheni korban at the first moment you put the knife in the neck. But it only becomes a shechita of a korban at the end when it's a shlomim. So the Gemara says, it's difficult. The Gemara says, Amar le'Avayi, Avayi says, no. This is even more difficult to me. Nihi de itchei le'ni Pesach, at the moment you shech the first, the beginning, where it's not shechita with a capital shin yet. It's only keep shechita with a capital shin at the end. It's only defined shechita at the end. But that moment when you start the shechita and it gets knocked away from a Pesach Sheni, midmei Pesach mi'itchi. It's not completely knocked away. It's knocked off meaning that this itself can't be part of the Pesach Sheni. But what you really should do, if your Korban Pesach gets a mum or gets something, you're supposed to sell it and then use that damim to buy another Korban Pesach. So at that moment, mihi that it was knocked away from being part of the Korban Pesach for Pesach Sheni, but it should have been used for money as to sell it to buy a replacement. So it's not completely removed from the concept of Pesach Sheni, of a Korban Pesach. If it's not removed from a Korban Pesach, then for the shechita that's done later, it's possible, because it was still a Korban Pesach, Roy the Korban, meaning Roy to be brought for Dummim is still enough to consider Pesach, which is a big fish. Right? In other words, it's a trafe animal, but it's still viable to be a Pesach, meaning that you could sell it and with the money bring a replacement, which is interesting. The Gemara says, "Om le'abai nihid itchli mi Pesach mi dmei Pesach mi itchi," and therefore what? So it's viable to be brought as used as money to buy a replacement for Pesach. So therefore, it's still viewed as a Pesach. So it's viewed as a Pesach. So I shechted it. What? I shechted it stam. But I shechted it stam at the wrong time. A Korban Pesach on the first day of Moed is not a Korban Pesach. So therefore, it's a pasul korban. If it's a pasul korban, even though I have chametz in my backyard, I don't violate because my chametz tam zivchi. I didn't get one of the conditions, because I have to be a kosher korban. So now the Gemara asks a side question. How is it valid to say that this korban is now ro'oi to be evaluated for a price? It's dead, right? The chitema boy ha'amod v'harocha. In order to redeem an animal, you have to have it stand in value. In this case, you can't have it stand in value once it has to stand in value. Once it's shechted, it's not standing. It's dead. Right?
Before you finish the shechita.
Yeah, but so what? It's kind of dead. So the Gemara says, V'hatnan shechet b'shnayim o rov shnayim v'dayin hi mifarkeset harei kichay l'chol d'vareh. If you shecht it and it's still flopping around, then it's still considered alive. That's what it says. Still considered alive. Yeah, I thought we said that. You know, Tosos, I think, says that. Tosos says, "Ain the Mishnah comes from Makom El Tadiyah." It's a deal from a Mishnah in towards the end of the Masechta. Yeah, I don't know. He says, "It's a shaka for Shnayim Rov Shnayim, but Adayin Him in Farkeses." So therefore, even after you start the shechita, it's still roy for Pesach for a mother of Aracha, and therefore you can repose it and bring from its money a Pesach Sheni.
This was the machlok with Yosef and his brothers.
Amen.
That was part of the whole thing. Right? He went and told his father that they were eating Eber Min
HaChai. Right up my alley. Yes, Yosef then. And they also had a machlok, as the Mishnah Mal says, the machlok is whether a Ben Noach, whether they considered Ben Noach, or they considered a full Jew. It's a sefer, Pashas Drachim. The Mishnah Melech has a sefer of Pashas Drachim. It's his first His first, the first sermon talks about that. I hear you. I thought we said that, you know, that you're dead. Like, what's the story with if right? What happens to bring down the case of? I don't know. I guess maybe they pick and choose. I don't know. It says clearly here that it's considered alive. I guess for this instance, it's considered alive. But it says the hold for F. I don't know. Okay. Next. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Yehuda says, name the Rav. Hashochet b'shnayim u'shloshim akomis. You shecht the animal not in one place, but you shecht it in different places on the simonim. Major machlokas of what this means. We're going to go first go to Rashi. So let's see. So hashech shochet b'shnayim u'shloshim akomis shkitas v'kashera. In other words, you didn't shecht it. You didn't shecht it through like one of the rings. You shecht it a little bit here and some here. You shecht it in different places. It's kosher. Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel. And I said this in front of Shmuel. Amar Li said to me, ba'inon shchita miforas. You need a very open and clear shchita. I don't know how he defines miforas. I think it means... What?
Discernible.
Okay, discernible incision. Veleka. Here it's not discernible. Why? When it comes, according to the way they explain Rashi, when it comes to a regular shchita, which is only in one place, what happens is, we mentioned before, is that the simanim expand, right? And you see the incision, right? They separate, and you see the in the incision. But if you did other separate other places, I shecht it here, and then here, and then here, so you don't have that expansion. I guess it's like a sort of like a balloon, and therefore those other holes don't allow for the expansion. So therefore, you don't have this discernible incision, and therefore it's going to be possible. You need this shechita miforas. Tosfos brings down many other shitas and how what it means. So the Meiri, this is the shita of the Meiri, and this is the shita of the Magid Mishnah and the Sefer Shulos. They say that what does it mean that shachat shnayim shloshim makomos? Most possible way of explaining is that I didn't get rove through one siman. I got rove through three different, four different incisions. I did 25% here. I did 10% here. 10% here. Then I hit my rove through three incisions. That's what they say. Tosas brings the Shiltos that what's going on here is that you did begin some in the front part of the simon and the rest in the back part of the simon. That's one thing. Rabbeinu Chananel says what it means is that you did one. You didn't go straight through the simonim in the same spot. You did the kane here and then you did the vesha here. A little like Rashi, but the case is where you did a couple different incisions. And according to Shmuel, you need a shchita miforas. And if you have a machlokes and tosis and the rush, though, what happens here if I did a valid incision in one spot and I did two other incisions? Is that possible? According to Tosos, the only way it would be no good is if I did one here small, then here and here small, and it equals a hole, but it's not miforas. Point to rush, even if I did a complete shchita, a valid shchita in one spot, and I do two other incisions, it kind of closes the hole, I guess. I don't know what the physiology is. It closes the hole, and therefore it's not going to be a shchita miforas.
So when did Shehiya, though,
right? Shehiya means you waited long enough to do a complete shchita. Right. So you have a time for it, we can go like this. That's not the shchita takes 7 seconds, and you did it within 4 seconds. I don't know if that's the right time, I'm just giving an example. So the Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, the Af of Shimon ben Lakish, and Reish Lakish also held by Inan Shchita Miforas. You need a Shchita Miforas, you need this discernible incision, and if it's done in any of the ways that these Rishonim describe, it's possible. The Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, says, Minayin Shchita Shahim Miforas, how do you know that Shchita has Miforas? Shenamar, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Chetz Shachut Lishonam Mirma Dirba. Their tongue is like an arrow, so it has to be similar to a Chetz. Right, and since and with a chetz is an arrow. How does a chetz hit? Once chetz doesn't hit here and then here, you shoot an arrow, you shoot a bullet in. That's it. It goes in and out. If it goes out, there's an exit wound. But it doesn't slice in different places. One arrow slices in one spot, and shchita is compared to a chetz. So therefore, it can only be in one spot. Right, but it's similar. So you compare. So you can just shchita. No, he's going like this. Like, he's not going all the way through. A short slice. Doing a short slice. So Masiv Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar is now going to ask on Shmuel and Reish Lakish who hold that you need a shchita miforas. I'll bring you the following Mishnah. It's a Mishnah we'll see in Amud Beis. Shnayim Oksim Misakim Mishokim. Two people are holding a knife and they're shechting. Two people are doing a knife Halavim here, they're talking about with two people, each one holding their old knife. One chef's on top, one chef's on the bottom. The shkita is kosher. But am I high left shkita for us? I have two different incisions. It's not shkita for us. So Gemara says, Amalei Rav Yirmiyah, Mishnah Seinu B'Sakan Echad B'Shnei Bnei Adam. The case over there is one knife being held by two people. Or maybe you have like those big swords that go back and forth. I don't know what it is. Two people are holding one knife. And that's where they have a problem. That is kosher. So Gemara says, Amalei Rav Abba, Ihachi, Hainu L'Tani Allah. We have a brisa that explains that Mishnah. That Mishnah says that the reason why it's kosher is she'ein choshen shema yitarfu ze al ze. Right? We're not worried that the other one is going to make the, that each one is making it a treifa. What does that mean? Well, Rashi. No, Rashi. I guess that what they're talking about is that each one is going to assume that the other one's doing the full amount and they won't do a complete amount, so you're not worried about that. But if we're dealing with two knives and two people, then Shapir, you have a valid concern. Because Ma'ar Tame, you would have said, maybe each one is so much on the other one, and neither of them are going to get to the rove, and you won't have a rove shrita. But Kamash Malan, the Ein Choshen. The Mishnah comes to tell us that you're not Choshish. But if you're going to learn the way you're learning, if it's one knife and two people, so it's one knife. So what's the concern? Hi, Ein Choshen Hashem Yitru Zel Zed. You're worried about whether or not the chiddush is that we're not worried whether or not ones that they're going to rely on each other and it's to become a treifa. They're doing it at the same time. What should be the concern? Shema Yitru Zel Zed Miboyle. The concern should be maybe they'll do drisa, meaning they'll do pushing instead of the slicing with two people to heavy-handed. So maybe instead of going back because of the heavy-handedness, they're going to puncture straight through. The Gemara says, "I'm only Rav Abba." No, Ein Achanami. Tnei Ein Choshen Shema Yitru Zel Zed. Ein Achanami. That's what the Brisa says. If I says, according to me, that it means Ein Shasha made the Ludrisa, so therefore the case is not two separate decisions, the case is two people making one decision. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't know what that halacha is there. I'm assuming that, I'm assuming that they're doing Shrita Val Shrita. We say Stam Shokim or Mukhim. That's within the first parak. So Masiv Rabbi Abin asked another kasha. Shachat as a Veshit Lamata, that's a Kana Lamala. So somehow, I think that means that Lamata Lamala means, I think, not up or down. It means an upper and lower part of the neck. So you do the veshed on the cranial side more towards the cranial area, and you do the veshed lower down. Or vice versa. Veshed lamala v'sakana lamata shkitasu k'shera. Wait, what? Why? How is that kosher? According to Shmuel, I have multiple punctures here, right? Amai v'hal lekar shkita muforas, because there's no place where rove the simon and nishka. One place is one simon, one place is the other simon. You need rove of both. I guess on an animal. So the Gemara says, "Hu mosivla, hu mefarikla, b'shchita asuya kikomos." We're talking about over here. We did it on an angle. He sort of did it on a diagonal. So it's one incision, but instead of being, we thought it was sliced here or sliced here. Really, he sliced it like this. So it's one incision going through, and that's how he explains it. So now we're going to bring a ma'aserav. We're not going to pass it like Shmuel. We're going to say you don't need to shchita them for us. Ahu Torah. You have the following the shore. The ishrat b'shnayim shloshim makomos. It was shefted on multiple spots. Al Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta. So Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta comes, and what does he do? Shokol m'shifur de shufri. He took the prime rib. Good enough. He took the best piece. Proof that there's a valid shrikta. He took the best piece. So Amale Rav Zera. So Rav Zera says to him, for the fact that you took from the shore, li madatanu Ravenu, you have taught us that Mishnah Seinu, that the Mishnah that we've mentioned that says Hashot, that you shefted two, right? You shefted two, there were two people, right? That allows you to shef with two. It's b'shnei shakim and b'shnei bnei adam. It's like we originally understood it. It's two knives, two different people. One on top, one on the bottom, or two different incisions. We're not concerned that maybe Shema Yitru Zel Zeh. We're not concerned that they're going to rely on the other one to not do a rove. And we're also not concerned about, the shritim for us. We don't hold by that. Okay. So according to the Gemara, we don't have to worry about shritim for us. Next. Now we're going to talk about one of the psulim of shchita, which is the psul of chalada. Chalada, I think, means burrowing. Meaning it's you dug the knife into the neck and you shefted the simanim without the knife exposed. You kind of shefted the simanim with the knife that's hidden inside the neck. Somehow you put it into the side and then you did the shchita. Chalada is like a weasel. A weasel burrows into places. So that's what's called. I think he defines it as burrowing or hidden. Is what chalada is. So Amrav Yehuda Amarav. Hechelid es hasakin ben simen le simen upsako. you somehow borrowed the knife in between the simonim. So it's in the neck, it's in between the simonim, and now you shech the bottom. You shech the bottom one first, and then you come up and you shech the top simon. I guess you did the kana and the veshes. I think so. You did the veshes and then you did the kana. It's psula. Why? Because at the moment that you shechted the bottom simon, right, the knife was covered, right? It was covered underneath the top simon, so it was covered, and that's pasul. But hakas ha'or, let's say you dug it underneath the skin before the simonim. Right? So you put it under the skin and then you went down. That's kshera, because that's not because the or is not part of makom shrita. I think what he's saying is that chalada only becomes an issue if the knife is hidden by something that's royal shrita. I think that's what it means.
By a
simon. Right, so by a simon. Right, Rashi says, he doesn't say. So if he borrows it and it's hidden by the top stimulus, that's a problem with chalada. If he borrows it under the back of the skin over here and then goes in, then maybe that's not a problem with chalada. My kamash melon. So Gemara says, what's the chiddush? We already learned this. We're going to learn this on Thursday's daf. Tanino, we have a mission that says, oh, sheheklid es asakin takas hasheni upsako. If you shefted the first simon kehalacha, and then you buried the knife underneath the second simon, and then came up. In other words, you did the first simon this way, then you buried the knife under this way, and then came up that way. So that's going to be a problem of chalada. Rabbi Yishov of Omer Nevela, he said it's so bad it becomes a Nevela. Rabbi Kiva says it just becomes a trefa. Well, Chaladeos, you see that the chalada of the sakin underneath the simon passes the shrita. The only machlokes is whether it's a trefa or a Nevela. So what are you coming to tell me here that happy is a sakin, but simon simon, that's chalada? We learned that in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Imi mas nisin, if we just had our Mishnah, Havamina may have said, Hanimili, when do we see the Shkita's puzzle? It's Milmata Ulamala. The problem over there is, so Hanimili Milmata Ulamala, the Loka Avid to Derek Shkita. What happens over there is the only time you have the Psul Chalad is if you bury it, and then the second part of Shkita comes like from bottom up, from the inside out, I guess. Aval Milmala Ulamata, the Ka'avid Derek Shkita. So maybe if you bury it and then you did it the normal way, I bury the knife. In our case, I bury the knife in between two simanim. Then I go down. That's the derech shrita. Then I take. Then it's not hidden. And then I do the other one. Maybe that's valid. I did a derech shrita. Kamash malon. That even in this way, it's possible. I don't know why you had that havamina, but that's what the Gemara says. That may have been your havamina. That the only time chalada would be possible is you have chalada plus in the derech shrita. But if you have chalada but it's derech shrita, then it would be valid. Kamash malon, it's not.
Normal way,
the neck is up like this, you go straight down.
Right.
So here, the guy.
Down or up?
That's milmala lamata, from top to bottom, I think it's called.
Why is that?
Because that's the normal way. Because you go based on your perception of what the
why
way it's supposed
mala?
To be. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. That's it to the top. The part facing you is up, you're going down. If I bury the knife inside and then I pull it this way, that's going from lamata lamata. It's going from the bottom part up. The way I'm supposed to shaft it is this way. So this way is the part at the top. I don't think it's objectively the top or the bottom. It's the way you were defined, the way you're supposed to do the shrita. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, Rav said, I have...
That's
what I'm saying. It's not based on that anatomically. It's based on the way it's supposed to be. It's lined up.
What's facing you first is the
corner. Right, so that's called the top. That's called the top. What's facing you is called the top. Even though the animal's upside down,
right.
What's facing you is called the top. That's how they're defining it. So, now Rav said that if you bury the knife takas ha'or under the skin, that's going to be valid. Takas ha'or, shera. That's kosher. But they Rav, Talmidim amri takas ha'or in yodea. They did it. That's funny. Rav said one thing, but the Talmidim said they don't know. They don't know what the din is. Maybe it is considered chalada. So they buy Lahu, they ask, okay, let's say you would say that Takas or is possible. The Bay Rav Dami Takas or in Yodea, Takas matlis. Let's say, I don't know what a matlis is. It has some sort of growth or what?
Yeah.
What do you call it? A cloth. But it seems to indicate that it's talking about it's sort of attached to the neck of the animal.
Yeah, it's wrapped around wounds, like other wounds. A superficial wound, you have a cloth around the neck, and you go under
it. And you go under there. So it's hidden, but it's not hidden by part of the animal. Right? So mahu. Does that make it? Does that make it a kalada? What about tachas tzemer mitzubach? What does it say that? That's another cloth around the neck of the animal. That's even more removed from it. Mahu. What's the din over there? Mar says teku. Teku as to whether or not this is considered kalada. Rashi passes on these tekus. He says teku v'kol teku de yisuro. Anytime you have an isser, to my isser hefer, you have to pass on the chumrah. He says it's a chumrah. Now comes very fascinating Gemara. Boyra papa hechlid b'miyut simanim mahu teku. I did chalada by a miyut of simanim, meaning I shifted rov point to Rashi. The case is major machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. We love this one. I shifted point to Rashi. I shifted rov of the simanim properly. Then I buried the knife and I completed the process. So what's the story? It says teku and Rashi passes the chumrah. Look at Rashi. Hechli b'miyut simanim. Right. So la'akar that's where the lamas comes in. How do you learn what does rubah kakula mean? We'll get to that in a second. Hechli b'miyut simanim. La'akar sheshachat rubah b'hechsher. You did the first rubah b'hechsher. So at this point in time, if I would stop, I'm good. But what happens? Miyam min hai ishket shafi b'rub simanim. Do we say, all right, stop in time. You're good to go. Odim akula chada shkita hi b'isbe chalada. Or is the shkita a process? You're still in the maisa shkita. You're right, Einachanami. If you would stop here, you'd be good. But you're still in Maisa Shkita, so therefore it kind of ruins it. Tosso says right away, Tosso says, it can't be. Tosso says, you're a monkey. This is your question. Once it's good, it's good. So what happens? I shechted the robe of the Simonim. We had this question a few weeks ago with the Hagrama, right? Where I get two thirds in and then a third out. And we were going back and forth. So we didn't answer the question. We didn't answer the question there.
Same thing.
What about Shehiyah? What about if I did the robe of the Simon, we had that later, and then I waited, and then I came back and I finished the rest? Also, we don't know. Rashi passes the chumrah in all these cases. You look at Rashi. Rashi says teku ula chumrah. The gabi hagraman nami the pirka kama be shakat shlish be higum shlish shakat shlish be higum shlish shakat shlish be higum shlish be shakat shlish. Nisakul on dil masvi lekarban shoot mitri be chol hadi minayim vina la chumrah. They go la chumrah. Tosa says right away. Tosa says wait. What's going on here? He says first of all he brings the sheet of the Rivam who says you can make a distinction between hagrama and between hagrama and our case over here. Hagrama is where you moved it out of the shlita zone. So maybe then you can say it's fine. Because the second part, when you higrim outside the street, you didn't do it, it's like cutting a piece of leg. What you do is, if I shed the two-thirds of the way through, and then I cut the toe off, what did I do? If I shed the two-thirds of the way through, and I shed it into an area that's not part of the street zone, so then, what did I do? But that Rivan makes a distinction. But Tosos asks your question, Mark. He says, what's going on? So what do I have here? I shed it, rolled the simanim, and then I did halada afterwards. Who cares? Once I shed the row, I'm done. So all the Rishonim, the Achro, you see shades of it in the Miri, but I'll bring it here from, the Rav has it in the Shurei Harab, but the Beis Halevi seems to indicate also, it seems to be, the Machlokas is, what is the concept of Rubah Kakula? Right, we're saying Rubah Kakula. Does Rubah Kakula mean that when it comes to Shrita, Shrita is valid to Rav? Or does it mean that Rav is a substitute for Kulo? Meaning, really I need to do the whole thing, but the Torah gives me a permit. If I do up the Rav, That substitutes for the call. Or do I say that all you need is rove? So if you say all I need is rove, that's tosos. All I need is rove, and therefore once I hit rove, I'm done. According to Rashi, you say no. Rubah kakula doesn't mean that all I need is rove. It means that rove is valid. It's a substitute for kulo. But if I do kulo, you can't have a substitute if the main teacher's there. It's only a substitute if the whole thing isn't there. But once I do the whole thing, then I'm done. Then it's not rubah kakula. I'm doing the kulo. I mean, according to Rashi, say a little better though, according to Rashi, that Rubah Kakula is valid. But as long as I'm still doing the Shechita, it still gets viewed as one complete Maisha Shechita. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the Maisha Shechita ends at Rov. That's it. It's over. According to Rashi, it's not that the Maisha Shechita ends at Rov. We say if you finish it at Rov, then it substitutes for Rov, it substitutes for Kula, and it's sufficient. It's sufficient. But if you went all the way, it's still part of the Maisha Shechita. So it stops. When you have the same concept that comes up all these problems, you say mixes and yom kula by hilchos aveilos, right? Mixes and yom kula by hilchos aveilos. We say day seven, you sit a little bit and you're done. So you can say mixes and yom kula means that it is as if it's the whole thing and it's done. So let's say you did more. Let's say you did more mixes aveilos afterwards. Did we have mitzvah? No, you're done. But if you say mixes and yom kula is just a substitute, so technically the Torah says that's enough. But if you do more, it's still part of the process.
The problem
with
holding is, according to the way we're learning now, that it's better to stop at rubah than this.
Kol Moshe Koreya. Ain't nothing on it. Unless if you do rove and you're valid and you stop. Because if you continue, you're gonna have a problem. You could have problems. Ain't nothing on it. That's it. The question is how you view rove. Right? Words of the Rav. He says, Imzo midin haklali the Rubik Kulo, right? Oh, Sagi Vishkitas Rova Simonim, or it's sufficient. Right? So I said, is it considered kol or is it a substitute? And you can't have a substitute teacher if the main teacher is there. What do you need a substitute for? So the substitute isn't valid when you do the whole thing. Right, that's the little bit of lundus in the Rubik Kulo and applies throughout all these machlokos and all these at the soap simmer.
I think more if you start kola then you finish properly, and that would be more of an issue.
Well, that's how Rabbeinu Tam learns the case, because the way that we learn Rashi, he says it's no problem. So Rabbeinu Tam learns it that you started with halal and you continued afterwards. That he says they don't know because maybe I guess have to work out the case. What? Who says? So, right. But is it a okay? We'll be darshan later. Okay. Next, let's finish up the Mishnah. Hashochet shnei roshim ke'echad. You shechted two heads at once, right? But you had to eat it properly. I had a long knife, right? Two heads over here. I mean, a bird, you could probably see it more, it makes more sense. I went like this, back and forth. I got the two heads off with one halacha rova, shechitasuk sheir. That is kosher, okay? Shnayim ha'ochsim b'sakim. We saw this mission before. Two people are holding on to the knife, the shochtin and the shechting one behema. Right? Rashi says, behema achas. Afilu echel lemala ve'echel lemata. Even if one is shechting on top, we said it could be a case of two. Right? So one is shechting on top and one is shechting below. Shchitato k'sheira. Their shchita is kosher. We're not concerned that one's going to make a trace, so we're okay. Hitis es harosh bevas achas. So what's the case? Rashi says, ke'odim hamatis kana odlas. He's talking the case of Drisa here. This is the case where I chopped off the head in one swoop. I went straight through. I pushed the knife down. That is Psula. That's Drasha. That's one of the five Psulim that we said by Shrita. That is Pasul. Gemara is going to bring the Makar. Hayashochit. You were doing the Shrita in the proper fashion. You're going back and forth. The Hittis is a Rosh Mavach Achas. You weren't pushing down. You were doing the slicing motion, but you had like a Ginzu knife, and when you slice, you went all the way through and it chopped your head off, right? So is it kosher or not? So im yesh besakin milot savar ksheira. I think what it means though, if the knife is long enough that the knife is twice the size of the neck, meaning so I went this way and so half of the knife is in the neck and there's another amount of the knife outside the neck, meaning it would be if I came back I would have more knife coming back right away. Then that's considered kosher. Im yesh besakin milot savar ksheira. Rashi says im yesh besakin milot savar. Chutz l'tzavar, outside of what's been in the neck, the Muki of Gemara, that's considered Yeshkan halacha ovah v'kosher. That's considered that I have halacha ovah because I had the potential to have brought the knife back, right? Aval im ein or chasakin elika ovah tzavar. Rashi says, but if the knife is only as long as the width of the neck, o chutz l'tzavar mashu drasi, but or not enough of the neck outside, right? That is considered drasha. Se ein hasimon nechchin v'mashichas olavah the bold drasha. Because he's saying the knife isn't long enough for it to have been sliced, off in the proper motion. If the knife is that short, you must have pressed down. Okay? Next. Hayashochet. You're shechting two animals together. V'hitis neirosim v'vachas. Same case with two animals. Now both heads fall off with one slicing motion. Im yesh besakin malot savar echad k'sheira. If the knife that stands outside of both necks has enough width that it could be of one of the next, that is kosher. Rashi says, the farish gemara puts the sneha tzavarim, the yesh boshir shloshet tzavarim. You need three next ones. Two are in the animals, one is outside the animal. Okay. Gemara says, v'med dvarim amurim, when do we say that would be valid? Bizman shaholich v'lo hevi, o hevi v'lo holich. Aval im holich v'hevi, afil kokshinu, afil bizem v'ksheva. That's the only time you need that extra length in the knife is if I did one motion and it sliced it off. But let's say it didn't slice it off. I went back and forth. Only by back and forth does it cut the simanim. Then even if I have a small little knife, that's fine. The only time I'm worried about it being too having an extra length is if I wasn't able to go back and forth. I only went back. I didn't go forth. Okay. So we know Hanimili. So where do we know that you, I guess, think that you, that you have the psul of dorsal. You have to go back and forth. Minahani mili, amar shmol, we learned from the pasuk that we mentioned before, the amakra, chetz shachut lishonam mirma diber. That has an arrow go, an arrow gets pulled back, and then goes forward. So it's back and forth by the arrow, so too the knife has to be back and forth. Now another makor, tana debei rabbi shmol, they learned following, it says in the Torah, v'shachot. So he says, ein v'shachot ela umasa. The word shachot has to mean drawn back and forth. The Kenu Omer, it says also, that it says by, when Shlomo Melech was making the gold for the base of Midrash, it says, v'yas ha-melech Shlomo masayim tzina zahav shachot. Shechted a gold, which means pulled gold. Means it's pulled, right? The Omer, and it also says, chet shachot l'shonam mirma dibir, the pasuk that we just brought down. So my Omer, why didn't he both sukkim according to Beit Rabbi Shmuel? Chitema zav shachot, if you just learned from the case of zav shachot, maybe I would say that shachut means there nitva kichut hu. That only means that it was twined and made into strings. And he made gold with the strings to use it as the fibers, the gold fibers. Doesn't necessarily mean it was drawn back and forth. So tashma, therefore came chetz shachut l'shonam, from chetz l'shut l'shonam, to teach me that the shchita is lashon meshicha. That it has to be drawn back and forth. Rava habi badigle gira l'Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa. Rava is a great case. Rava was checking the arrow of his friend Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa. B'shachet ba'ofa b'hadei d'parach. That's funny. The guy's name is Yonah and they shachted the bird. Right? So he's checking the arrow. He pulls it back and he lets it fly. Boom! It hits a bird and it kills the bird. So the Gemara says it's good. Ay, v'dilma avdei chalada. Maybe you did chalada. Maybe you didn't go back and forth. Chazina, they checked. The Gedima didn't reverse. They checked. And they found that, you know, maybe we'll stop here. We'll pick up the case here. They're checking, they found it wasn't halava. So they're going to ask, what about Kisui Adam? How do you do Kisui Adam? All right, we'll get to that tomorrow. Stop here, have a